Ephesians 2:11 kicks off with quite possibly the most awkward passage for any pastor to have to tackle. Are we really going to get into circumcision here? I think I found a way around it. We'll see. But in truth, there really is a lot to unpack here in the word that was just shared. The reality is, we should also consider what immediately precedes today's scripture as well. It's really funny, the lectionary sometimes cuts off stuff, either before or after a reading, that helps deepen the meaning a little bit more. Ephesians 2:8 through 10 reads, "You are saved by God's grace through his faithfulness. This salvation is God's gift. It's not something you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives." And today's reading opened with, "So remember." This is the connection it's making. So remember that we're saved by grace. Remember that it was freely given and not earned. And remember that we were created to do good things. Over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at grace freely given to us being more than enough, and that the importance of remembering that we don't get to choose who that grace is extended to. These are really important pieces of mindset that we have to take in for anything else to fall into place. But different thinking isn't enough. We also need to then figure out what actions we're being asked to take to live our lives into the grace that we each have received. Now that we've established a foundation of grace, the Ephesians are given an identity, a reward, and a call to action. And each could not be more important than they are today. An identity. Demographics have us narrowing down each person's characteristics down to the nth degree. What's your skin color? Where were you born? How old are you? What's your education? What's your faith? How wealthy are you? The list runs on and on. And with each division, we create barriers. You're not like me. You're not with me. You're not entitled to what I'm entitled to. But this division runs directly in the face of what God has given us, doesn't it? Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. And yet we see so many people trying so hard to crush that peace and let the barrier of hatred back in to divide us again. Our family is very fond of saying those who don't learn from their history are doomed to repeat its mistakes. And we've been given so many lessons. We could spend weeks debating, and arguing, and fighting over which side is right with regard to our nation's immigration policies. And yet this isn't new ground. My paternal grandfather came to the United States from Ireland at the age of 17. He traveled through Ellis Island and entered our country during an era when signs reading, "No Irish need apply," may have been waning, but the sentiment was still just as strong as ever. With no change in this mindset toward immigration, I wouldn't be standing here today. I wish the issue could be confined to just nationality, so it could be easily discussed and resolved. But we've added so many layers to that. Skin color, language, gender identity, and more have all been piled on as reasons why we cannot allow ourselves to think of everyone as one body. And sadly, our faith is no different. 272 years ago, the forefathers, and yes, it was forefathers back then, not foremothers, of the South Killingly Congregational Church, locked in on what they saw as differences in faithful behavior from those gathered here in Westfield. This wasn't unique thinking isolated to Tunk City. In fact, it was part of a larger widespread era in the 1730s and 1740s, now known as the First Great Awakening. Preachers such as George Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards, and John Wesley were out building on older traditions such as Puritanism, Pietism, and Presbyterianism that created a divide in spiritual thinking. People split based on what they considered the way to live a Christian life should be, with a focus in particular on what was considered the right standard of personal morality. Those standards got very detailed. They could range anywhere from how sin should be viewed to what was acceptable for clergy to wear in worship. The more people dove into the definition of how to live a Christian life, the more differences of viewpoint drove a wedge between people. And so in this quiet corner of Connecticut, these Christian siblings parted ways and started worshiping in their own ways. In case you might not have noticed it, 272 years is a long time. More than enough time for neighbors to begin to see neighbors as strangers and aliens, for our skills and talents to be separated in the service of this community. This isn't just something we face as two churches in the same community. Within our own denomination, we had a conference structure based on geography. The churches of Connecticut, supported by one team, those in Rhode Island by a second, and those in Massachusetts by a third. This may seem logical and harmless until you consider that neither of our congregations interact regularly with Moosup Valley Congregational Church. Moosup Valley Congregational Church, who are they? Well, that would be a UCC church, yes, our same denomination, just 11 miles from here and just 7 miles from Tunk City in Foster, Rhode Island. They do many of the same things we do, like worship on Sunday mornings, host Bible studies and music series. And they do things a little differently too, like a living creche on Christmas Eve. Just 10 minutes from here. And we know little about these aliens and strangers who worship the same Savior we do and seek the same service that we do. All because we as humans allow some imaginary line creating a state boundary to define how we should gather and interact with one another. These divides occur, and it can be very difficult for those divided to reconnect with each other. But it's not impossible to do so. We were given a clear example in today's text. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross. And if we follow that same path, we'll find very similar results are possible. At the conference level, that call has already been given a response. At their most recent general meetings, the Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island conferences of the United Church of Christ resolved to join together into one new body. Together as one. We're no longer strangers and sojourners, but indeed are focused on working together to bring about the kingdom of God wherever we roam. We too can follow this path. And in fact, we're told we need to. You are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built spiritually together into a dwelling place for God. We are joined together, not in a building, not in a physical temple. We, the people, are the temple. We are joined together not with nails and mortar, but with the Holy Spirit. And that action of building a temple in people is a verb, not a noun. It's an action, not a statement. So how do we honor that call and respond faithfully? It starts with grace. The grace we were given despite the fact that none of us here deserved it. We need to share that grace as far and wide as we can. 272 years is far too long for two churches who have all embraced the same cross and who seek the same redemption to continue to look at each other as strangers and sojourners. Our communities must work together in any way that we can. South Killingley members have no barriers at all to offering to serve at a be our guest dinner or to participate in Victorian Christmas celebrations. Westfield folks have no barriers to providing angel tag gifts for the children in DCF care that our church serves and supports through the Covenant to Care program. We're speaking with Donna Perkins about the possibility of helping to launch a Stephen ministry we're trying to get underway to serve those in our community that are battling grief and loss in their lives. And it doesn't have to stop there. Our church boards can have the total freedom to reach out to the boards at Moosa Valley to see if there are ways we can create regional ministries that serve northeastern Connecticut and northwestern Rhode Island together more powerfully as we join larger groups of citizens together, citizens of the household of God, to work in service side by side. It's long past time for us to stop focusing on what makes us different, what makes us see others as strangers, and to see what makes us all pulling for the same result, that we may all no longer be strangers, but that we may all truly be together, together as one. Amen.